today on Real Radio.
Are you witnessing? In whatever context that might mean to you, are you doing it? You might say, I don't feel like doing it. I'm afraid to do it. I don't know if I want to do it. That's why you and I need the Holy Spirit, because He puts the wanna in us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's episode, Pastor Jack and I have something pretty special to tell you about. Pastor Jack, I've been to Israel with you a few times, actually, and for me, it was a life-changing event. Tell me a little bit about what's coming up.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And look, you've lived it. You've done this with us. We're going to be going again on our annual trip to Israel. The dates are March 24th to April 4th, 2019. And you're right. It is a life-changing. How about this? It will not only change your life. I often describe it as your Bible becoming Technicolor. It's going to be unreal.
So what are the dates?
The dates are going to be March 24th to April 4th, 2019.
So, Pastor Jack, specifically, what are we going to see in Israel?
Well, we're going to be going to key teaching sites, key historical sites. Listen, we're going to be going to some sites because you can't go to Israel without going to sites that relate to the future. We're going to be going to the Valley of Armageddon, for example. We're going to be going to Mount Carmel. We're going to be going to the Galilee. We're going to be going, of course, to Jerusalem. And again, in all of these locations, Bible studies, and we're going to be having a time of our life. My good friend, longtime, lifelong friend, Amir Sarfati of Behold Israel is going to be with us. And we're just going to have the greatest time of watching our Bibles once again come to life.
Awesome. Can't wait. I hear that you actually go to those locations. We get a chance to open our Bibles and really get into the scripture regarding that particular place.
Yeah, listen, for me as a believer and as a pastor, as a Christian, I love stressing in the various sites that we visit that we're standing in the fact that the Bible is open. Church, friends, our faith is founded upon fact, and I can't stress enough that experiencing that in Israel, in the location, with Bible open, will transform your life.
So how do I get more information?
You can get more information by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And just click on the banner right there labeled Israel 2019.
So can the folks sign up right away?
Signups are going to be on a specific day. So everybody mark your calendar right now. Signups will be on a specific day, Saturday, August 4th, 12 noon Pacific time. That's when the computer, as it were, will open up the website and it will be automated. When you go to the website, it's going to put you in there as you sign up, first come, first serve, because praise God, we have a national interest in this and space is limited. You will not want to miss it. Get more information by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. I'm sure that's going to be an incredible trip. So now let's jump into today's episode of Real Radio. Pastor Jack, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 5, continues a series now called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the acts of the apostles of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In part 1 through part 4 of A Witnessing Church, we learned that it was God's divine power that gave the apostle Stephen the boldness to speak the truth about the gospel message. Now in part 5 from Acts chapter 7, verses 44 through 50, Stephen continues to build his case that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And Stephen does this by reminding the high priest council that it's through David's descendants that the tabernacle was built and through David's lineage that the Messiah would come. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Stephen didn't just share the gospel message to the high priest council and to all those gathered there in Jerusalem. He gave them the chance to respond. And now in his lesson called A Witnessing Church, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're going to look at three areas that you and I need to make sure that we capitalize on as Christians so that we do not do what the religious people did at the time of Jesus Christ. And in this case, the religious hierarchy. I want to draw your attention to where we're at. This is a long chapter. It's almost kind of drawn out to the point where we've lost what on earth is this thing about Stephen all about. And by way of recap, we need to remember that
The church was radically growing. The brand new church was very, very much alive, very growing under the power of the Holy Spirit. And it came time for the apostles to appoint men, number one, full of the Holy Spirit, having wisdom and of a good reputation, to be waiters in the church, to be deacons, to be ushers. And so the apostles did that. And in chapter 6 of the book of Acts, it gives seven men and their names. They're all Hellenist, which means they were Jews, but they were raised in the Greek culture, and they came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They are all very beautiful men of faith. One of them specifically was the man Stephen. When he was sharing Christ and doing great wonders and works as the Holy Spirit worked through him, the religious hierarchy saw that. And the priest came to him and confronted him and challenged him on what he believed. Full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen began to give his defense for the gospel, which the Bible says they were unable to resist. They could not contradict him. And so as Stephen gave that message, he was arrested and drawn into the council of the Sanhedrin. So right now, we jump into this study, and you and I are with Stephen, surrounded by a half-circle council, elevated up on an incredibly beautiful, ornate wooden judgment panel, looking down at him. And so he's looking up, and he's been giving defense. He's been telling them, listen, I am not in the wrong here. I am following what was revealed in the Word of God of our patriarchs. He goes back to Abraham. He goes back to Moses. He goes back to Jacob, all of the patriarchs. He goes back to them. And the council's going, yes, yes, we know them. Yes, that's great. No problem. But as we caught on last week, he begins to now cut the line between what they stood for, how the nation treated them, rejecting them, all of them. And he was also accused of not only Moses slamming, but temple bashing. And by this time, they had come to worship the temple rather than the God of heaven. And so this morning, he's going to deliver the line that's going to drive them nuts, and it's going to lead to his death. His one and only sermon covers nearly 60 verses of chapter 7, and it's going to cost him his life. And listen, I don't know how you'll react to this, but your opinion is yours, not the Bible's. You and I are challenged in Scripture to become martyrs for Jesus Christ. The word is witness. And we are to die for him. And some of us will die for him on the mission field or sharing Christ. Some of us will die for him in the very end as we live a faithful life following him day after day, year after year. But regardless, this morning, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a martyr. You are the word witness. And that's no option. So as we get into this, please be sensitive to not removing yourself so far from Stephen that you can't relate. We need to relate in every way. When we open the book of Acts is the testimony of Jesus Christ to the church. In fact, I like to consider the book of Acts as the operating bylaws of the New Testament church. That's how we're to move, under the direct influence and power of the Holy Spirit. When you came to Jesus Christ, mark it down in your notes, John chapter 20. The moment you come to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit coming inside of you, never to leave you, never to forsake you. You're never again lonely. He's in you. You're saved. You're stamped. You're sealed. You're going to heaven. But in John chapter 20, Jesus speaks to his disciples and he breathed on them the Holy Spirit and they became born again in that very moment. But in Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, and the entire book of Acts, we don't have this indwelling of the Holy Spirit anymore. That's a given. It's you, the believer. But all through the book of Acts, we have what has been taught, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to go wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, then you shall receive power, and you shall be martyrs, witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You may be a believer this morning, and you may have the Holy Spirit in you, but let me ask you this. Do you have the Holy Spirit upon you? That's what the book of Acts is all about. We're talking about a series here that's entitled The Witnessing Church. Are you witnessing? In whatever context that might mean to you, are you doing it? You might say, I don't feel like doing it. I'm afraid to do it. I don't know if I want to do it. That's why you and I need the Holy Spirit, because he puts the wanna in us. And so that's why we're looking at this book. And real quickly, as we get into this, remember the book of Ezekiel chapter 37? Ezekiel sees a vision, and it's all these dead bones laying out in the field. And he says, man, what is this? And God begins to speak to him. He says, you know what? I want you to prophesy. I want you to start speaking the word of God to these bones. And so Ezekiel starts speaking the word to these bones, and these bones start coming together. An elbow flies over into a whatever, and then into a shoulder, and the femur into this, and the hip bone, and everything's coming together. And you know that song, the hip bone connected to the, that was written by Ezekiel. You can get it down at the store, little 45, Ezekiel recordings. Hey, that's where it came from, man. It came together. This skeleton stands up, and Ezekiel's freaking out as he speaks the word. This thing comes together. It's a person. And then flesh begins to form on it, and it's there, but yet it's still dead. And Ezekiel's talking to God, and God's talking to Ezekiel. And basically God says, now Ezekiel, get out of the way. Watch this. And God breathed the breath of life into that skeleton, and it became a living, breathing entity. And of course it speaks of Israel being brought back to life, but it has to also apply to us typologically, because if you do not have Jesus Christ this morning, you're like a bunch of dead bones. The word is ruach in Hebrew, and it means wind, breath, life. God breathed life into them. And God wants to breathe life into you this morning if you're a Christian, to be a powerful witness. And this morning, if you're not a believer, God wants to breathe life into you to give you a real life. You think you've lived so far? Baby, as it says, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't lived yet. So let's jump into this, if you would. Acts chapter 7, starting at verse 44. In your notes, we will now look at responding to what God has given. You see, this is where they blew it. Responding to what God has given. Verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he appointed and instructed Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. Verse 45, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out from before the face of our fathers. We're going to stop right here and look at point one, responding to what God has given. We want to make sure that you and I respond to what God has given us. You see, this is Stephen's point. Remember, he's standing there. And he says, our fathers, verse 44, underline that in your Bible. He's, what's the word? Bonding with them, so to speak. He's bridging with them. He's drawing them in so he can share Christ. Our fathers, he says, had the tabernacle. God's witness was with them. How did they respond? I want you to listen closely, because how do you respond? The Jewish people, God revealed himself to them simply because he says, not because you're the most mighty, not because you're the most in number, but because I've chosen you. That's why. Sovereign choice of God. God begins to share, and it's amazing to me. Moses goes up to the mountain. God gives him 10 commandments and he gives him a blueprint. And I've got these images of Fred and Barney Flintstone. You know, it's stone commandments. God wrote on the 10 commandments with his finger in stone. And he also gave him blueprints to build a tabernacle in the wilderness, the tabernacle of meeting or of witness that it's spoken of here. What was it about? This is the place that God would meet with the people. This is where man could meet with God, and it could all be well. And so God gives the blueprint, Moses goes down, and eventually they wind up doing it. And everywhere the people of Israel went, God's tabernacle went with them. In fact, in the book of Numbers, where the tabernacle does not go, where God does not go, they don't go. If God sat for a month, they sat for a month. If he sat for a year, they sat for a year. If he moved daily, they moved daily. It was extremely portable. Are you with me? On the outside, it was covered with animal skins. It didn't look very good. On the inside, it was very, very beautiful, but nothing like its master. You see, when Moses was on the mountaintop, he was given a vision of what goes on in heaven. It says that what Moses made in the wilderness was a copy of what's in heaven. It's interesting to me that the Bible says concerning Jesus Christ that when we see him, we're not going to be wigged out about how beautiful he is. The scripture says he's not going to be beautiful at all. It says that he'll have no form or comeliness. That means he'll have no power, evident power or presence and beauty that we should even desire him. Why? Because he's scarred. He's been vandalized and victimized by our sin. When he rose from the dead, he was still scarred by the acts of the crucifixion and his beatings the night before. But I want to ask you, what's important? What's on the outside or what's on the inside? Jesus loves you this morning. The tabernacle speaks of what God is on the inside. What do? We plaster Paris, our lives, up one side, down the other, so people don't see who we are on the inside. Jesus says, that's not important to me. I want to know what's on the inside. And so wherever God goes, the people go, and he's in this relationship, and it's portable. Isn't that neat? I don't know about you, but I love to camp. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. You get up in the morning when you're camping, and you, I guess you do. Don't you, with me, have like 4 eggs in the morning and a 1/2 pound of bacon when you're camping? It drives my cardiologist nuts when I go camping. And you just kind of eat all day and the smell of the trees and you got your feet in the river and it's like, this is it. Well, God likes to camp. He likes to be very portable. Why? Because that's how we are. We move about in this world. God wants to move with us. You see, their mindset was confining them to the temple. But we need to respond to what God has done. What has God done in your life? Christian, I'm speaking to you this morning. Listen. Do you realize that you have the Holy Spirit with you? And do you realize all of your life before you came to Christ, you enjoyed the benefits of the Holy Spirit? You and I, none of us know what that's like to not have him. Even those who are unsaved, non-Christians this morning, you are enjoying the benefits of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the world. That's incredible. You're breathing right now saying, what a jerk. I don't believe it. I'm out of here. The very breath, the very thought process, the chemistry that God has given you to think those thoughts. What are you doing with them? There's going to come a day. I know we don't like to hear this stuff, but surely God can't only be speaking this to my ear only. Jack, there's going to be a day that you'll be held accountable for everything I've showed you and talked to you and led you to do. Hey, fathers, husbands, God says, you, I will judge as a father and a husband. You're not going to be able to go up there with me and say, hey, man, it was that one woman you gave me. That's why I'm a... You can't do that. Well, the reason why is because I had to make money. God's, it's not going to count in the end. You go pray with somebody over here at Pomona Valley who is going to heaven momentarily on their bed. Their bank balance never comes up. You know we never talk about money? Never. It's, oh, I hope my kids come to Christ. Oh, I hope my children get saved. What you have in the bank means zip. Nada. I like it in Russian. Nyet. Zero. Sounds like nothing. How are we responding? Israel, by and large, as the nation, didn't respond to God's overtures of love. They see the portable temple, and what do they want? They want to build a big temple. David wants to build the temple. We'll get to this in a moment. Why? God's portable. We take him everywhere we go. Responding to what God has given. We have the Holy Spirit. We have our Bibles in our laps. My goodness, that's awesome. We have one another. I'm extremely grateful for that. I've said it so many times, and you can probably think, well, here he comes. He's going to say it again. And you're darn tootin', I'm going to say it again. When I left Calvary Costa Mesa, I thought we'd never find a place loving again. I thought God's love was there, and basically they had the market on it. And I come out here, and God begins a home fellowship and brings you here, and God builds this church. And this is the most loving place I've ever experienced. And you might say, well, that's because you're the pastor. That's not true. There's people coming here who said, you know what, nobody said hi to me my first day or whatever possible. You won't believe this. The first time this one woman came, she was not a Christian. She shows up her first day, and there's a switcheroo with the names, and the little guy wandered into the wrong class, and we lost her kid. We call 911. People are combing everywhere. He was in a class next door. Next, the weekend after, she decides to cut us some grace, comes back the next week and gets born again. And she's been in the church every day since, growing in Christ. That's incredible. Why? Because I feel the love of God here. That warms my heart like you can't believe we have one another, because the Holy Spirit is doing that. The children in the wilderness, certainly, I'm hoping, loved one another. God's witness was there. And we look back and say, oh, well, it would have been great if we would have had a pillar of fire at night and a big cloud by day and lightnings and thundering. No, it wouldn't have. No, it wouldn't have at all. The Holy Spirit did not indwell people then. That's what Pentecost is all about. He came to indwell the believer. That's awesome news to us. You know, I think, well, when would rather have lived concerning God? I wouldn't want to live in the Old Testament unless I was Elijah. That would have been cool. I guess my only temptation is living during the time of Christ. That would have been neat, especially when he touched the first leper. I would have wanted to have watched him reach towards the first leper and watch the Sadducees and the Pharisees, watch their face freak out because you're not supposed to touch those guys. That would have been great. It would have been great to have been there on the day of the resurrection. That would have been good. But you know what? I wouldn't change a thing. Like Esther, I want to just say, I've been born for such a time as this. I don't want to change a thing. This week has been incredible. I need to really watch it because I'll lose it on this. I'm going to do it. The team comes back from Russia, blessed of God, fruit. To hear of people who came to Christ in April when we were there last, to see them again. It's fantastic. We get an invitation that God is continually now this week affirming stronger as the days go on to take Apostle Rush into Argentina, Buenos Aires. Basically, we've got everything but an invitation. I mean, we've got some governmental connections and it's amazing. Now we're working out some details. We could be down there sooner than all of us know. Apostle Rush is in China. The Lord's allowing us to start and support a fellowship in Cabo del San Jose, Baja California, a resort community, of course. There's a brother down there now. We've got invitations to help start a Calvary Chapel in Eastern Europe, in Germany. And I just step back and I just go, you're incredible. You think I'd rather be alive at some other time? You've got to be crazy. It's unbelievable. I get an invitation from Pastor Chuck. Will you come and teach on the prophecy, God's love in prophecy for a month to almost 100 Korean pastors who don't know anything about prophecy? And I can't do it for a month. I can only do it for a week. And I step back and I go, I'm glad I'm alive. And God's just beginning. And we need to be responding to what he's given to us. What do you have in your heart to do for him? Do it. Die trying. Go for it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 5. Thanks for listening, and God wants all those who follow Christ to not only be a witness to his saving grace, but to find rest and peace in the fact that God has it all under control. A Witnessing Church, Part 5. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. I'm sure you're thinking by now that the Apostle Stephen was a pretty amazing guy. It takes a lot of courage to stand up against a crowd of people, especially leaders, who strongly oppose the testimony of Christ being the Messiah. But really, Stephen was given his boldness through God and the divine power of the Holy Spirit. And God will do the same thing for us. So if you want to know God more in a very powerful way, you can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Know God tab. Or you can download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs app gives you a lot of resources, and you can access them to get a better understanding about the Bible, the gospel, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.